All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam. Well, super successful comedian and all-around nice guy Jeff Dunham is going to join us in studio. We'll also do the news. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, speaking of the song Can't Turn You Loose, there's that scene in the Blues Brothers where the guys are sitting in the sauna with the booking agent, and he asks them, what's up with the suits? Don't you guys ever wear blue jeans or jumpsuits like Wayne Cochran and the CC Riders? So, hey, there's even a tip of the hat in the movie. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
That's right. Forgot. Reference. Sorry, no, we don't go all over the road. Jeff Dunham is here, comedian, ventriloquist, got a comedy special. It's coming out November 25th on Comedy Central called Me the People. He's on a national tour and dates. Oh, it kicks off. The tour hasn't kicked off yet,
Jeff? No, I'm doing the other tour. And uh-huh. And then the new tour starts out after the special after Christmas.
How many dates a year are you playing?
I guess it's, I don't know what it is. What, so 10 a month? I can't do that math.
10?
It's 120, 130, something like that.
Is it tour buses a lot?
Yeah, you know, it's a fly to that region. The tour bus picks you up, and then every show is within 7 hours of the other one. So
right.
It's just rock and roll. It's great. And I got two big rigs. I got a crew of 12 guys. Two tour buses, one mine, one theirs, and it's like a rock and roll puppet show.
What do you need the two big rigs for?
Because we carry all our own lights, sound, because we're doing arenas, so we carry our lights, our sound, our staging, all that stuff.
Wow, it's so big, it's so impressive.
Thanks. Yeah, but you know, it's like, you know, you look at a straight stand-up guy, he just walks on stage and tells jokes, and so I got little, you know, cases with characters in it, but then again, that's not what's in the trucks. So
right.
I think it's, you know, it's I like it because it's my own crew, it's my own guys, it's my guys running sound, doing lights and everything, so they know what's going on. Versus when you go do a theater, you know, it's all their thing.
Right.
And so with this production value is, you know.
Is it, it didn't used to be this way for comedians, per se. I can't speak for ventriloquists, but I mean, this was rock and roll. Now, you know, like we talked to Gabriel Iglesias in here talking about playing Dodger Stadiums. Like, he's got...
That's nuts. That dude, I don't know how he makes any money. Can you imagine what the cost is? And he has like 40 people. I got 12 crew guys. He has like 50.
He's got like 8 semi-trucks. 3 of them are just filled with merch. Like,
yeah,
it's
and he's got people out the wazoo and how many opening acts. And it's like, what's going on? It's just, I don't have an opening act. I was so cheap. I'm like, forget it. I'll be my own opening act.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you'll MC, you'll feature, and you'll close it.
That's right. Who cares?
How much time do you do?
It's about 2:10, 2:15.
Oh, yeah. So that's a lot of act.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we've talked about this before. I built my act coming up in the comedy clubs trying to get on Carson. Mm-hmm. And so we've talked about this. If you put a stopwatch on a guy on a late night talk show, a stand up, if he has a laugh every 10 seconds, 6 to 10 seconds, he's doing great. You got guys doing 20-second and 30-second setups, and you're getting 3 laughs a minute, you're dying. The audience is getting nervous, and you're not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're a storyteller like Cosby or whoever.
Right.
Then you're okay. But so I built my act back in the 20 years of doing comedy clubs by trying to build the a laugh every 6 seconds. And so that's how my act was made, and that's how I write now. Mm-hmm. So when I do 2 hours and 15 minutes, it's usually 6 laughs a minute.
Do you have to use a prompter or some something to remind you where the hell you are?
Because
2 hours and 10 minutes long?
Sure, because with my voice, you know, that's me constantly talking for 2 hours plus. So it's like a singer. I can't, you know, you got to rest your voice. And so people think, you know, the road is glamorous. No, it's not. I get off the bus. They've set up everything. It's taken them all day long. I go in. I set up the characters. We do a sound check. I walk back off stage. Hour later, I go back on. I do 2 hours plus, walk off the stage, back onto the bus, and I don't talk to anybody for 21 hours.
Right. You have to rest your voice.
Yeah, I don't see a human being. I don't get on the phone. I don't do anything. So it's, you know, it's work.
And you're kind of a mechanical guy, right? I mean, you build all the puppets, right?
Yeah, I build all the characters, all the dummies. Yeah, and I have a workshop on the bus. So if case anything goes wrong, yeah.
So you can fix it.
Surgery.
Yeah. But you know what's great is honestly, like Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, I've had him in the act since 2007, and I've yet to be able to have to open up the head and repair something. So it's like, you know. So I have other hobbies. I build stuff, and yeah, it's stupid.
What is the latest with you and Bill? I mean, I know you're a car guy. I know you love the cars. You know, tragically, Leno. I don't know if you talked to Leno.
Have you talked to him yet?
No, I just heard it on the way in. I figure he's convalescing somewhere.
I talked to one of those guys, and I said, "Is he okay?" And the reply was, "He will be."
Mm. Oh, okay.
So I don't know if
someone
he's
like Bernard or one of his
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, one of those guys. Yeah, and so I don't know if that means he said, "Wait till tomorrow, and then send him a note. He'll be all right."
Okay.
And he's talked to him, and he says, okay, so I don't know. I don't understand. Was it a steam car that blew up and then caught fire? Is that what it was?
We don't know.
All we know is it was a gasoline fire.
Oh, that's terrifying.
What do you got lately? What are you messing around with? Do you have an electric Hummer?
Yeah, that's out.
You brought it?
Yeah, I love that thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know why I love that? There they are. Damn. Yeah, that picture. So that's a real Hummer from the Schwarzenegger days, and that's a 99, and then that's the brand new one, the 22. And I guess they'd be pumping them out right now, but of course they can't because of supply.
Yeah. That's a beast.
Oh, it's great. And it's 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, and it weighs 10,000 pounds. How the hell? It really confuses people when something that giant beats the living. I mean, you know, it'll keep up with some Teslas. So it's great.
3 seconds, 0 to 60 is devastating. That's supercar. I mean, it was where hypercars were 10 years ago, let's say. It's super quick.
But don't you think it's 0 to 60 is going to be who cares now?
I kind of think top speed will be who cares.
Yeah, right.
0 to 60 is where all the fun happens and all the experiences. It's sort of the takeoff in a commercial airliner versus cruising.
Right.
Cruising altitude. But it'll go the way the dodo in the sense that if anyone in an electric car, you know, mom, grocery getter, driving a Tesla, that's all sub 4 seconds, 0 to 60, then it doesn't mean anything.
It'll
anymore.
Be that you can buy a 0 to 60 in 3 second car for $25,000.
Yeah, like a Nissan Leaf.
And then nobody's going to care.
Right.
All the fun's gone.
What else do you got added new in your collection? I know you got some Batmobiles.
I got the new Z.
We got the new Z.
Yeah, it's great. Got the limited one, the yellow one. They did a great job. Because my very first card that the dummies paid for was an 84 300 ZX.
Uh-huh.
And so that was when I was in college, and I actually got a license plate in Texas, and it was dummy.
Yeah, that's funny.
I earned it. That's right. It was the first thing that they paid for, and I still have it, too. So it's great.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, it's kind of crazy. I've said it before, but like when I wrote my first book and I would look at see how sales on Amazon were doing or something, it was always Jeff Dunham. Jeff Dunham was always at the top of the charts. It's an incredible, I mean, playing arenas.
Well, it's just a base of fans. And, you know, that come around to the subject of comedy, and it's, you know, I know you've talked about it a bunch, but it's so difficult. I would not want to be a guy coming up right now. You know,
everyone too many different camps or what?
Well, the way I'm handling it now is I'm trying to go back to what it used to be, starting with Will Rogers and Bob Hope and Carson and Leno, where you didn't know what their politics were. And they made fun of both sides evenly.
Right.
You know, and it was okay. But the difference is, I think, between them and now, is I think most comedians, as you know, pick a side. And then they start pissing everybody off, and they start being nasty and doing mean jokes and calling names. That's not comedy. That's a pep rally.
Yeah.
So I try and come up with stuff that's funny, and I'm no Dennis Miller. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to get my show. So, it's just goofy, dumb, stupid fun. But they sit there for 2.5 hours and they keep coming back.
Yeah, what people don't realize is most of this country is somewhere in the middle. They don't want to be preached at. They want to have a laugh. They don't need. It's always weird when comedians are, prompting things. Even stuff like, I don't even like the vote stuff. Just leave them alone.
Right.
They'll vote or they won't vote. That's not your job, to tell jokes.
Yeah.
It's weird to get that involved with it. But it is interesting that the comedians can really drive the culture. And that's much more effectively, one quip that Jon Stewart makes that really hits the nail on the head is so much more effective than 1,000 politicians talking for 1,000 hours.
Sure.
And people then understand that. And it's Dave Chappelle was doing SNL last weekend, and he did this minute and a half thing about who Trump was. And it makes a difference to a lot of people because he speaks for so many people. And it's sad that comedians have to take sides or speak for groups or whatever it is. I don't even really like I never liked it when fat comedians just did fat jokes. I'm like, diversify a little bit. You know what I mean?
We get it.
I don't like when black comedians do black, just everything's about being black. Like or whatever, tall. It could be anything.
Sure.
Just single ladies, whatever your thing is. Whatever your hook is.
Yeah. But you got to do a little bit of that because a good portion of the audience is there because they are what you are.
Yeah, well, I think the luxury of being a heterosexual white dude is there's no real hook. So
yeah, tell right. Jeff.
Yeah.
That's the advantage.
Let me tell you, you don't understand what it's like, dude.
I know. It's tough.
One day T-shirt with your Nissan Pathfinder in 91.
I wore this. My son, I have twin boys that are 7 years old. And we're going through the warehouse the other day, and he points to the 87. The 87 was the first year for the Pathfinder, and I had one in college. It was great.
Yes.
And we're walking by it, and he points to the Pathfinder, and he goes, "Where's the red one?" And I said, "What?" His kid's 7 years old. He goes, "We had a red one. Where is it?" And I go, "We sold it 3.5 years ago."
Oh, he's thin.
Oh, man. I'm like, how the heck? That was half of your life ago. How do you even know that? So, yeah, he's got it bad.
He's got it bad. Yeah. So you got Batmobiles. We got Hummers.
Well, you used to make fun of me for the Ford GT for being purple. You yes. said I was gay for having a purple Ford GT.
I implied it.
You said it out loud.
Well, it's because I meant it.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong with being gay and having a purple Ford GT. Right. But I noticed that there was Bo himself at Galpin Ford.
Bo Bachman.
He's got a fuchsia one. And it's awesome looking. I'm sorry, but I think it looks great.
He's like, if Liberace wasn't gay and into cars,
that's
who Bo Bachman would be.
See, look at that. No, wait. Is that his?
I just put the purple in.
Oh, that's my purple. But look up BEAU Ford GT.
You ordered yours in purple.
Yeah, yeah. It's a one of one.
One of one.
Yeah.
Except for...
There's one other guy.
Ray Hall.
With a lighter colored purple.
Yeah.
Less effeminate. mine is. His was more.
So, is there an evolution for you in cars? Are you getting into some vintage stuff, or is it all just
no? It's a mishmash. We're finishing a warehouse that I've been working on. We've been working on for 6 years. Red tape with the city and the whole deal. Finally finishing. Well, yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous.
We get into that quite often.
Yeah. Finally finishing construction on it, but it's a mishmash of everything. I mean, name it. There's a handful of supercars. There's a bunch of classic cars. The muscle stuff. 57. I finally got a 57 Chevy, and it's all original except, a handful of parts have been replaced, but, same paint job and the whole thing, and I love that. But at the same time, there's what a LaFemme is?
No.
The LaFemme, that was the Dodge LaFemme, and it was, Leno describes it as a car for women. This is the reason it failed. It was a car for women designed by men.
Wow.
Yeah. And you couldn't do it today. It's pink. It has a pink inside. It came with a rain bonnet, a pink rain bonnet, a pink raincoat.
It's like a Mary Kay car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was, oh, there it is right there.
I mean, it is really pretty.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it came with a purse and a little pocketbook and the whole thing, all the accessories for a woman. And it's, I bought it and gave it to my wife. So the only difference is it's in my warehouse, but it has her name on the title.
It's so funny that guys would ever think that they would want – women would want a nice car, but we don't want a purse made by Dodge. That's not really the design
actually,
we're going for.
It was actually apparently a really a designer maker that – I can't remember what it is. But yeah, we've got the – I've got the whole setup in the trunk.
Wow.
Where did you find this car?
I heard about it and then started looking for it. And to find one is not easy. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
I take it back. This purse is fucking awesome.
That's not it.
Oh, damn it.
So, no, it's old and tired. It looks like something your grandma would wear or take, maybe. I'm not sure. So yeah, the Dodge LaFam. There, I think that is that it.
Oh, there.
I don't know what
the
that.
Pink ladies car, the original pink ladies car. It says complete with a lipstick holder and pink umbrella.
Oh yeah, it has an umbrella or parasol. Is it?
It's weird. Rolls Royce got a ton of mileage out of putting an umbrella in the door, like 7 years ago.
It was I remember
a big
that. Yeah,
deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's in the door. It's in the door, and it's like yeah, we. Technologically,
well, it's like the windshield wipers on the headlights. Come on, come on.
Yes.
Wait, do you have any cars like that?
No, but I will tell you this. In the 80s, there was a lot of like cool Euro Mercedes and stuff, mm-hmm. and they had windshield wipers on the headlights.
Yeah.
And you'd see people, you know, going around West LA and Beverly Hills in the cool loaded Mercedes. And I would always make fun of those guys and go, what the fuck needs windshield wipers on your headlights? And no one needs it, but. Somebody explained to me that when it snows a lot in Germany and the snow is gathering on the headlights at night, then you would want those. So that something where I would definitely make fun of that asshole driving around Beverly Hills or Santa Monica, but
it started with a purpose.
Well, also you have to culturally understand like Germans don't make spinners for their rims. Germans don't make fake hood scoops. They don't make tails. And
really, there's no fun stuff over there like that.
No, it's all business over there. So if something comes out of Germany and you're like, what are those jackoffs up to now? That they did because you're driving through Bavaria and there's a snowstorm and then we buy them and drive them around Beverly Hills.
Well, now I'm really happy I came here. I've actually learned something. That
yes.
I had no idea. Because I've never figured out why the hell would they do that. But that makes perfect sense. All right, I get it. Well, we don't have snow, so we don't know.
Yeah,
I agree. But I'm with you. My comedic mind was immediately attacking and assaulting the nature of any human who would drive around Southern California with a car that had windshield wipers on the headlights. But the origins come from somewhere.
Let me ask you a question. I have not gone through this thoroughly, but do you think comedy is always, I think I heard you say this, is always making fun or putting down something or somebody? Can it be simplified that much?
Well, it's always easier comedically. Like if you listen to morning show jocks who aren't particularly funny, and then they have 4 hours to kill every day.
Yep.
And then somebody brings up a movie, like a popular movie. Both guys will go, lame, so lame,
right.
Dude, that's so lame. Because in a world where you don't have any interesting critiques or takes or hot takes or turns of phrases or whatever, just going bad, you know, negative, it's a safer bet, and it's also the kind of thing where I would explain to people all the time when they took umbrage with things that I've said. I said, look, when you're up on stage and somebody says, you know, and you go, give me a word, a suggestion, whatever, and they go, your mother-in-law. You can't go, oh, Shelley, she's a delight. You have to go, that old bag of wind,
right.
I hope she dies soon so I can get her condo in Pacific Grove, you know, and then they'll laugh.
And then
right?
hopefully that also goes into an actual joke that's not just a recognition of something we all can identify with.
Right, but then someone may say to your mother-in-law, listen to what Adam had to say about you. And I'm trying to explain to people that supportive and praise and that kind of stuff. It doesn't really comedically work usually.
So that's the minefield that we have to tiptoe through these days, is what is it that we can make fun of that is okay to make fun of that won't tick off 90% of the crowd. To me, I've always said if I'm pissing off 2 to 5% of the crowd, I'm probably right where I should be.
Well, I think that, you know, it's kind of interesting. I've done jokes where I've said, like, I've gone out on the road and went, like, I can't do these jokes in L.A. And they're already into it.
Right.
You know, they want the jokes. They want the forbidden fruit jokes that I can't do. And then they'll always laugh. Sometimes you can – I just say, look, you're going to think this joke is horrible and harsh, but I'm doing it anyway.
Right.
And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. But there is a kind of a leveling with them that works. Like, if you just go – I'll do this joke. I know it's going to get a groan. It's going to piss people off, or I can't do it in L.A., but here it is. They'll kind of go along with you on that ride.
Well, see, that's why, you know, the Comedy Central special, that's what I do. I work for 18 months, and then that's basically rehearsal for taping the next special, right? Then we tape now that's 2 hours and 15 minutes, edited down to an hour special, which is 42 minutes of programming. So what I love is when a special comes out, then I get to go out and say, okay, what you guys are going to hear in this live show tonight is the stuff that Comedy Central wouldn't let me put on the air.
Oh. Yes.
And then they're like, ah,
yes.
Which is true. There's a lot of the stuff that I didn't want because it wasn't as funny, but there's a lot of stuff that they said, no, you can't do that.
No, I would tell a joke where I said, I did the Alec Baldwin roast on Comedy Central. This is the first joke I did. They cut it. Comedy Central cut it. But
please
they can't,
tell it.
They can't cut it here tonight. And I will. And
it's chef's kiss. It's
I don't know. It may be a little blue for Mr. Dunham.
I know. Do it. Let's hear it.
Put it behind the paywall.
Maybe I won't get it.
Oh, if you don't get it, that's good. That's probably good. Let's see.
Do you remember it?
Yes.
I remember it.
Well, let's see. Who's I talking about from Will and Grace?
Sean Hayes.
Oh, Sean Hayes was the roast master.
Right.
And Sean Hayes, the joke goes, Sean Hayes is the roast master. So when Sean Hayes has to bring me up, you know, and of course he calls me racist and homophobic and misogynistic. And
wow, that's all the ones that get me too.
Yes. And it's true. It's all, it's true, but it still hurts to have to hear it before I come up. And so I came up and the first joke that I said that they cut is I said, Sean Hayes, Will and Grace is back on the air. So Sean, it's quite a comeback. Incidentally, comeback was Sean's nickname in high school because that's where the lacrosse team would finish.
Oh no.
Yeah. I get why they cut it. And then it would go on. I would go on for a while and I'd go, I had to watch that special with my young son. And at some point he looked at me and he said, Papa, where are the cum jokes? And I said, I know. Life isn't fair. Get used to it.
Yeah. Oh, I think they had an easier time making the decision on what to cut from your act than they did from mine.
It was more linear.
I've never done a
You had
joke,
embarrassment of riches, I'm sure, that they had to take a scalpel to.
Oh, man. All right, fine.
I do get curious about Ahmed and things like that when it's like nobody's cheering for that character, yet are people offended by it?
Oh, I see. I love this subject because they do cheer for him. They love him. I did the world tour in 2016. It was another Comedy Central special. Jeff Dunham was all over the map. And we went to, you know, everywhere, from ice starting in Canada and Iceland down to South Africa and Australia and Singapore and the Middle East and Europe, all over the UK. And, you know, people ask me today, oh, the Muslims are upset by it. No. Okay, really? All right, let me show you this from the special a few years ago. And there we were in the middle of Abu Dhabi, and 4,000 Muslims. The men were in their dish dash. The women were in the black. And guess who their favorite character was? Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, of course.
Wow.
They loved
him.
It was like a homecoming when I pulled him out of the box, right? So then, two nights later, I'm in the middle of Tel Aviv, Israel, doing the exact same show, didn't change a word, for 4,000 Jewish people. And guess who their favorite character was? Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. Now, there's different reasons that both of those groups loved him, but they both loved him, and I did the same show. So where is the problem here?
Well, we talk about that a lot, that the people who are the loudest about being offended are generally not part of that group.
Right. They think they're some kind of Boy Scouts and sticking up for people that need to be stuck up for. No, you don't. Let them be the judge.
Yeah.
I mean, and wasn't Gabe, wasn't he? Did he play Speedy Gonzales in something? Did he do the voice?
Gabe Iglesias?
Yeah, Gabe. Didn't he play it, or he was just talking about Speedy? Because they were trying to cancel Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, yeah.
And all the Hispanic people got upset.
Yeah.
It's like Latinx and Latinx. Like, the Hispanics are like, fuck this. We're not down with this stuff. This is all sort of middle-aged white women trying to foist their shit on everybody, which is a kind of – it's its own form of racism. Like, they I did a man show bit. One of the first bits we did was end women's suffrage, and we went down to get women sign petitions and abolish the 19th Amendment. I'm trying to think.
What was the 19th Amendment?
It was the women's right to vote, but I can't remember which one. We were trying to abolish the women's suffrage.
Yeah, the 19th.
Right.
And at some point, there was this like, kind of crunchy, kind of hippy-dippy, like 35-year-old woman. And we're getting this Asian woman to help us circulate and get signed. And like at some point, this woman like came up to her and like put her hand on her shoulder and she went, no, 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 these are white men. Like, she's a white lady. Like, it was like she was going to explain to this person, like, this, you can't do. She was going to save this person from us, which. When she, that little part where she's like, you understand, these are white men, that encapsulated the entire sort of movement for me.
Have you ever been treated like garbage because
you can find that somewhere, that these are white men.
Have you ever been treated like garbage, not because you were recognized, but just because you were an older white guy?
In his home, yeah.
In his home?
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night.
Domestic, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it happened to me at a Starbucks up in the Northeast, and it was near a college campus, and I'd never experienced this before. And it was in a bookstore, Starbucks in a bookstore, right? And so there was one person ahead of me. So I go up and I go to the counter, and I don't get confrontational. If somebody's treating me like crap, I usually try and like I'll stand if I'll be in line, like when my girls were younger, and I'd say, see this grumpy cashier? I go, before we walk out of here, I'm going to make that woman laugh. And my kids would be like, oh, brother, okay, dad. And then I usually would, because you know inside a curmudgeon or somebody that's pissed off, there's somebody that's okay.
Right.
Usually.
Usually.
So I'm in line at this Starbucks, and I go up, and it's a younger guy, and obviously one of the college-age folks, and I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just standing there watching, and they went about filling all the sides, doing everything they possibly could do before they got to me. And I just stood there, and I literally stood there for 6 minutes, and I said, I'm just going to stand here patiently until they come over. There was finally 5-6 other people behind me waiting in line, and finally he just comes over and looks down, looks up, and he goes, what?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, what did I do here? Well, did you see my show? Is that the problem? Or is it just me?
I yell about this all the time. I was just yelling about it last week, which is you cannot try to build up a group by saying, you know, this group of women of color or gay men or gay men of color, women and Latinx or LGBT. You can't solely build up one group that we all applaud that. We go, oh, lift up these poor, you know, Michelle Obama she's a role model for young girls of color to lift them up and stuff. You can't do that at a Starbucks or on a college campus for very long before you have to take a little something out, like a pound of flesh on Jeff Dunham, who's the whitest man on the planet, because first off, how often can you say, like, these women, we need to lift them up because they're being oppressed. We need to lift them up because they don't have a voice. We need to be, well, who's oppressing them? Like, how fast can you do that math? Like, it's kind of a two-way street. It's, let's cheer for the Steelers and we'll beat the shit out of the Ravens fans. It doesn't just cheer for the Steelers. Like, at some point, especially with the horrible narrative that every 19-year-old idiot in that area is hearing constantly, people aren't oppressed in a bubble. It takes the oppressed and the oppressors. And they don't go like, go out and punch a white guy or, right. you know, attack a heterosexual guy. But at a certain point, there's a kind of a de facto math, which is if somebody's oppressing the people of color and the indigenous people and the women and the LGBT community, well, shouldn't we kind of go after the person who is causing this? I mean, shouldn't they wait a little longer to get their Frappuccino? Like, there's a B-side to it, is what
sure.
I'm saying.
Every action, equal and opposite. Right.
They can't mm-hmm. speak it out loud. Oh, we have the Man Show clip.
Oh, good.
Thanks. Could I get a hug? Thank you.
How come it's a man who's doing this?
Because we care.
The women?
The women are lazy, it turns out. Would you like to help us?
Why not?
Because, quite frankly, I mean, we like to take a little break. If you wouldn't mind walking around with this.
Hello, would you like to sign for the armistice?
Suffering of women in this
suffering.
Country?
See, nobody understands this word. You have to explain
right.
the word.
You're right. But
no, this is offensive. Women's really? Suffrage is the right for women to vote.
No.
Suffrage gives women the right to vote. They're making fun of you.
Really?
No,
I'm
not.
Oh, I don't know where... She said they're white men at some point. But anyway, that was perfect. It's like, no, sweetie. I'm here. I will
shepherd
correct this.
You through
I will
this.
Shepherd you. I'm
I feel just a little dirty watching that. I just don't feel clean right now.
You know, there was actually Mike Lynch sent me this, and I wasn't going to get into it in the news because it didn't end up happening. But since we're on the subject, I have to read you like three lines from this Fox News story, okay? Mm-hmm. Gettysburg College has postponed a painting and writing event hosted by its Gender, Sexuality, and Resource Center for people who are, quote, tired of white cis men. That is the reason for the writing and painting event. The private Pennsylvania college offered the event as part of a peace and justice senior project, but they've postponed it because now people are pissed about it. But the whole point is to share your art or your writing about how you are tired of cis white men.
Yeah, well, look, when I wanted to be a fireman at my lowest in the North Hollywood Fire Station, where I just was 19, rudderless, poor parents, poor everything, barely, you know, I had no education. I was as low as you could get financially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I walked in North Hollywood Fire Station. And I said, I need to put an application. People listen to the show know the story. But the point is this. As they said, it's going to be a long wait. And it was about 7 years before your date to take your test. Because we're just pretty much hiring black people and women and stuff like that. So what I'm saying is North Hollywood Fire Station or L.A. Fire Department is diversifying. Good for them. Yep. But there's an A and a B.
Yep.
The B was me. Yep. I wasn't in some neutral ground. I was like, the guy said, you're white guy. We're not hiring
you're the
you.
Wrong color.
So you're trying to do something good for the woman of color, the Hispanic man or whatever. God bless you. But there's a second part to that story.
Yeah. What did you think of Morgan Freeman's clip from, 12 years ago, 60 Minutes?
Love it.
We played it on this show, and I loved it.
About
do you
Black
have
History Month?
The clip of the white man?
Yeah. And I wonder, obviously, he probably still feels that way. Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right.
What's this white men who are wasting energy.
We're not
time
white.
Money
we're not white. What are you, from Cameroon? Help us in
the All right. The white man. So this shit's been going on for 20 something years.
Cameroon. Grief. Yikes.
Were you from Cameroon?
Did you ever not sleep at night?
No. I didn't care. All right. Let me hit Solo Stove. Oh, these things are great. Campfires, man. Nothing quite like gathering around a warm fire on a cool evening, and now it's getting cool outside. So get your Solo Stove. A smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove makes your outdoor moments even more memorable. Instead of dodging fumes, you can sit and enjoy a fire. And they have a deal going on. You can get great deals on Solo Stove. The Solo Stove Fire Pit. I have one of these things. I use it all the time. I use it on the 4th of July. I'm going to bust it out again. Now it's getting cool outside. Stainless steel construction designed to regulate airflow and burn more efficiently. It burns so clean. It burns so nicely. Brilliantly engineered, built to last, easy, light just put a few bits of starter in there. It comes with a carrying case and everything. It is well done, and it works well. Lifetime warranty and a 30-day free return policy. Right, Dawson?
Let the gifting begin. Shop Solo Stove's early deals event for huge site-wide savings and get $10 off with promo code Adam. Plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns. Get an extra $10 off holiday deals at solostove.com, promo code Adam.
Well, Jeff Dunham will hang out for a few more minutes, and we'll do a quick bit of news right after this.
Great. January 20th and 21st, the Adam Carolla crew is coming to Dallas, Texas.
If you've been on the cruise, look at this as a land yacht.
Working Blue.
And what is the equivalent of a drunken cruise on land? Dallas, Texas.
That's right.
That's right.
With Adam Carolla and John Popper. Two days, tons of fun.
Live pod, all do stand-up, and we're going to do a screening of the K-Rock doc. John's going to do musical performances.
Hell yeah.
If I'm doing my job, it's yours, all that breaks, because the hope brings you back.
Your tickets for the package include hotel rooms, tickets to a live Adam Carolla show, brunch with John and Adam, a VIP meet and greet, a special screening of the K-Rock documentary.
And no seasickness.
No seasickness.
Probably some vomiting, but
yeah,
not a lot.
But it's your fault.
And of course, the big event on Saturday night, Adam Carolla and John Popper at Dallas Echo Music Hall.
Sounds really pretty. Beautiful place.
Working Blue with Adam Carolla and John Popper. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grad, news with Gino Grad, breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad, stuff face on TMZ, Joe Biden, Kamala, meet news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, I hate to do it, but have to start off with some absolutely awful news. I don't know if you guys saw the footage. Six people died Saturday when two classic World War II planes collided in midair at a Dallas air show. Authorities said Sunday that the crash left debris scattered around the airport and nearby highway and strip mall. The NTSB will lead a probe into what led to this tragedy at the Wings Over Dallas air show. Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson said that there were no reported injuries on the ground, but again, probably six people combined in each plane. I'm going to show it to you just because it is so bizarre if you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. And it just hits it and they both just go down. A giant, you know more about planes, obviously. Just a giant plane. And then like this littler one just come in and it just crashes right into it.
So there were like, I was like a B-17 or B-19. Maybe like World War II four-engine bomber. And then what they're probably doing is the dude in the Messerschmitt, it was a B-17. Oh, was it right,
Look
the first
you.
Guess? I only saw a second and a half of it. Then there's some dude in a Stuka or Messerschmitt or something. It would have been, I mean, should have been German or maybe a Zero, like a Japanese, but also could have been like a P-51 Mustang or something. So the idea was is they were simulating this thing, I'm guessing, this is the first time I've seen it, of the bomber, and then this would have been this German fighter plane like coming down from the sky, you know, to simulate what was going on back right. then. And the guy who was coming down was supposed to give him a flyby, and instead of missing by 10 feet, you know,
went right into him.
Well, his blind spot is underneath. Down and below.
Oh,
so his blind spot. And it
right.
looks to me like he's starting a quick left
Go ahead.
Turn.
Yeah, well, you fly helicopters.
See,
so
he's,
you know.
He's doing
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just looks like if that was nothing nefarious, he just missed it by that much.
Yeah, he was doing, I mean, it was the whole Rhodes, Ozzy Osbourne, camper bus thing, you know. You don't remember that story?
I just remember him rolling an ATV.
Was it Rhodes? Who was it?
It was their bus driver, was an amateur pilot, and he took Randy Rhodes up in an airplane early in the morning and tried to buzz the tour bus
and
crashed. Crashed. Oh. And killed him.
Yeah, so he the guy was fucking around, and it took Randy Rhoads. It was like a guitar phenomenon playing for Ozzy Osbourne. It was like, I don't know, 23 or something, and said, let's go have some fun. Mm. You know, and of course, you're like, don't do it. And he's like, "We're Ozzy's sleeping in the tour bus. Let's just go buzz him." Well, he hit him.
Oh.
And it's the funny thing is if you buzz him and you miss by 6 inches, it's the greatest story everyone ever has. No harm, no foul. But another 6 inches the other way and everyone's dead.
It's a tragedy. Yeah.
What plane was buzzing him, though, Chris? Was that supposed to be like a German plane? But anyway, they're going to have rules, which is go up there, simulate whatever all you want, but no buzzing the B-17.
It was a P-63 Cobra.
Which there was only
American plane.
There's only like two. There was only two left in the flyable. And now there's like one.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, the Cobra.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Really, just one of those. I mean, call it a freak accident, but you know, it's dangerous.
It's pretty preventable. Yeah. They have those. They would have those. They would have those B-17s take off from Van Nuys like once a year. And they'd go lumbering right over when I lived up in Lake Hollywood. They'd fly right over Lake Hollywood, and they turn. They go right by the Hollywood sign. There's just a, like, thing where once a year, maybe on Veterans Day or something, they'd charge everyone, you know, $200 a flight, and you'd get into this vintage, you know, and take off and just lumber around and come circle back
I know
around.
One of the pilots that was actually doing some of that buzzing around the valley on a couple of 4th of Julys, I think.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was 4th of July.
Yeah, yeah. And when we lived, this was not long ago. This was 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's been a couple 4th of Julys where I'm like, what? Who is doing this and how is this possibly legal?
Yeah.
And he was going by celebrations.
Yeah.
Sanctioned celebrations, just flying around the valley doing flyovers.
And like a B-17.
Yeah. Huge thing.
Yeah.
A Hercules. Who's in a Hercules? What's that?
No, the Hercules.
Okay, he was in a Hercules. So
Hercules is a transport plane.
Yeah, still big ass plane.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah. So it wasn't a bomber.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Now, those guys would do it and then flak. And so this was an American plane, the Cobra. So there was just somebody simulating what a, you know, dogfight would be.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah. Really sad. Yeah. Well, since it's only going to be fresh for, I don't know, maybe the rest of today, let's talk about Dave Chappelle hosting, or at least, you know, his opening 15-minute monologue. He usually does that after elections. His jokes mostly aimed at Kanye West and the Jewish community and groups like the Anti-Defamation League, not a big fan of most of the 15 minutes. Chappelle opened the bit by reading a statement saying, "I denounce anti-Semitism in all forms, and I stand with my friends in the Jewish community." Then he added, "That, Kanye, is how you buy yourself some time." He then went on to talk about Jews in Hollywood in these two clips. I'm going to show you two. Here's the first one.
Is he smoking?
No smoking.
In Brooklyn show business rules. This is the rule. You know, the rules of perception. If they're black, then it's a gang. If they're Italian, it's a mob. But if they're Jewish, it's a coincidence, and he should never speak about it.
So there were a lot of those. He talked about Kyrie Irving, suspended from the NBA. By the way, still suspended, even after his apology. Chappelle ended that bit by saying that Jews have been through a lot, but they can't blame those things on black Americans, which I thought was a very confusing statement that nobody had been making. But here is another clip.
Listen, okay, I don't think Kanye is crazy at all. I think he's possibly not well. Well, I've been to Hollywood. No one's y'all to get mad at me. I'm just telling you, I've been to Hollywood. This is just what I saw. It's a lot of Jews. Like a lot. But that didn't mean anything. You know what I mean? There's a lot of black people in Ferguson, Missouri. Doesn't mean we run the place. To see if you had some kind of issue, you know what I mean? You might go out to Hollywood and your mind might start connecting some kind of lines, and you could maybe adopt the delusion that the Jews run show business. It's not a crazy thing to think, but it's a crazy thing to say out loud in a climate like this.
So some people not super happy about that. Among the critics is Adam Feldman. He's a theater critic for Time Out New York.
Jewish guy?
Hard to say. Unclear.
I'm looking at that. Says, Feldman character?
That
critic
for New York.
Newspaper?
Yeah. That Dave Chappelle SNL monologue probably did more to normalize anti-Semitism than anything Kanye said. And, you know, I was talking to my friends about this today because I said, look, if it's funny, it's funny. And if he's a well-crafted joke by a brilliant comedian, it just is. But it's like we just had this election that's like fairly historical in terms of midterms anyway. And like didn't come up. Like we're still talking about Kanye hates the Jews. Like, can we just get I'm Jewish. Can we just get out of the spotlight for 5 minutes? Like, let's just leave us alone. You know, like
done and done.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, yes, it does seem to be heavily populated by Jews, like Hollywood. I get it, but like 99.9% of us have no affiliation. Like, well, we're just doing other shit.
First off, groups shall inhabit certain roles right. in society. It never happens in a complete bubble. Like I've said all the time, LAX security is mostly black. I don't know why. Yeah. It just is. I'm guessing somebody got a job there and then they got their niece a job there at some point. And before you know it, that's the culture
right.
at LAX. As a white man who travels, I'm not bothered by it because I'm assuming they're doing their job. But I would also say that the black person shouldn't need the fire department to represent the community. You just need a good fire department. And, you know, I've been in show business. There's many Jews in show business. They're more on the executive side than they are in the talent side, although there's a few in the talent side.
So what are you saying there?
But they're pulling the strings.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you're a traveler and you don't have a weapon or a bomb on you, then you should travel through LAX regardless of what your ethnicity is, not having a care in the world. And many executives and many folks I've worked with were Jewish, but I assumed that they wanted to make the most money and be the most successful with me, non-Jew. And so they were willing to support, just like the guy who owns the professional football team may be Jewish, but the players aren't.
What?
He wants to win. You know what I mean? And I knew as long as that code was in place that it sort of solves everything without having to take a head count, because everyone who runs Comedy Central could be Jewish. Dave Chappelle is not Jewish. Comedy Central wants to make money. Comedy Central will pay Dave Chappelle $50 million to do a show on Comedy Central and not their cousin who's Jewish, because they're not going to make any money off of that person. And the guy who owns the NFL franchise is not starting his Jewish kid as a DB on the Washington Generals or Redskins or Senators or Enforcers or whatever we're calling them now. The point is that system, that meritocracy, everyone wants to make money system, keeps everything kind of in check.
Right.
Well, you know, I think Comedy Central has had some real debates in the last few years mm-hmm. on that very subject. And I was actually surprised some of the stuff that they let me keep in the show that's going to air, the mm-hmm. new special. Because – and we imagine our internal discussions were, I honestly bet they're sitting around going, okay, do we want big ratings or do we want to be woke?
Mm. Right. That's interesting that they're tacking back to ratings.
Well, I don't know if they are. I'm sure they are, because, like I said, there's some stuff in there that I went, all right.
Like Jimmy's hosting the Oscars. Hollywood is getting away from woke and getting back to ratings. And so, you know, and I never thought about it for a second, but I think there's obviously, if you're from Brooklyn or you're Italian or you went to Wake Forest or something, and there's someone else in the room, like another executive, hey, Wake Forest guy, hey, Brooklyn guy, or hey, Paisan or something. You know, there's like little elements of that's baked into the cake. It goes with everything. But, you know, Jimmy and I aren't Jewish. We did plenty of shows on Comedy Central. They wanted ratings. They wanted to make money. That's that. that kind of meritocracy thing is what saves this. It's not somebody being hired to go, right now, on air, you have five white guys and only one woman of color. Like, that doesn't fix it. That artificially moves things around and then pisses off one of the white guys who you have to cut. Like, I'm going to take an Asian and remove them from UCLA to make room for a woman of color. All that does is piss people off, and then you do get what you don't want, which is now these Asians are coming together and they're angry, you know, and they're pushing back and there's a lawsuit. Yeah, that does get into the tribalism at that point. Yeah. You go full meritocracy, and yeah, I agree with you, Gina. I don't know why I have to talk about it.
I mean, Dave Chappelle's fucking hilarious, and it's a great, you know, he's hilarious, but I'm just kind of, you know, I'm just kind of tired of it.
All right. Well, be tired at home.
Okay,
let's bring
well.
It home.
Oh, good. Nap time. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, let me tell you about my friend Jordan Harbinger, a different kind of sponsor for this podcast, the Jordan Harbinger Show. It's, well, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts with interesting people, you should definitely check it out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks with Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter, or go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful, and you can apply it to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity, or slight mindset tweaks that change how you see the world. Jordan's an interesting dude. Spoken to him on many occasions. We enjoy his show, and I think you will too. Search it out. The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. And you can find Jordan's show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to finer podcasts. It's the Jordan Harbinger Show. All right. Ari Shaffir and Brad Williams bringing the comedy tomorrow, by the way. Jeff Dunham, Me the People, premieres November 25th on Comedy Central. And also, you can just visit his website, jeffdunham.com, because the big tour's kicking off, ladies and gentlemen. He's got his semis, and he's hitting the road.
Yep. So we're looking for a big rating. It's the day after Thanksgiving, Friday, yeah. Sitting around that night. Yay.
He always delivers. The great Jeff Dunham. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Joel Stein, Story of the Week with Joel Stein. And I'm going to be at the Rialto Theater in Tucson coming up December 15th. And then at the Improv, December 16th and 17th in Tempe. Just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. Until next time, Adam Carolla, Joel Stein, Jeff Dunham, and Gina Grad. Say it. Mahalo.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Find our books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see Adam Carolla at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.